Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Osio, Oginili'i, Tehiju, Tehigu, this is Will Bluewater. How are you, cousin? I'm fine. How are you? Our guest this evening, we didn't have a chance to chat before the show, and want to apologize for that. Things have been kind of chaotic with microphones, but anyway, we're going to be talking with Grandmother Renee Hill. She's a Mohawk elder with the Turtle Island Council, and I really look forward to this because was introduced to the Great Law by a good friend of mine back in 1985, and I was taught to proselyte it and. Stuff really wanted to do through. That's all the creators really had me do. But anyway, I live with it. What can I say? But anyway, welcome to the program, Grandmother Renee. How are you?
I'm very fine, and I'm very honored to be in this time to share.
Well, we look forward to talking with you. Usually what we do, if you're willing to give us your full birth date, usually we do this before the show for the ladies. But what we'd like to do is, and actually we could take you off air, but we'd like to do a Mayan birth glyph reading for you. And everybody goes, it's just astounded at how accurate they are. Do you mind giving us your birthday, or do you want me to go in the green room and grab it?
Okay.
Okay, what month, day, and year?
June 11th,
48. June 11th, 48. And the wheels are turning in Mark's head.
Just give me a second here, because I've got one of them going, the other one's... Okay, June. Okay, so, in the traditional Mayan day count, that day is called Four Chuen, or Four Bats, Guatemalan Maya. It's the fourth day of the Lamont cycle, so maybe a possible connection with the planet Venus there, and all Quetzalcoatl's connections with Lord of the Wind and the Water's connection with Venus. Chuen has to deal, a lot of times they'll say, with the destiny and the thread of time and the weaving of history, especially in our case, humanity's part of that weaving. And so it's also many times called the monkey glyph too, so it ties in with the Mayans' things about the monkeys and howler monkeys going from one of the world cycles to the next. The four part of it indicates kind of a balancing, and you know, the four elements, the four directions, four energies, and you know, all the things where it comes up four, and all the native stuff and the medicine wheel, obviously. So kind of the idea of you took medicine wheel, weave time through it, and get a dream catcher. And we'll look now at the Six Sun Zulcan. It's going to have three components to the reading: a forward flow of time, backward flow of time, and where the two time flows come together. So forward flow of time is the way our senses and we process time normally. The backward flow, we normally don't see it, except for, you know, things like psychic senses, intuition and stuff like that can kind of tap into it. Where the two time flows together is like a zero point or a balancing point. So we'll do the forward flow first, the way we normally look at time. And for yours, and this would be kind of going from your birth, maybe even a little bit before you physically born, forward. And it's all about uncovering, unveiling things, and digging things. You probably turned over a lot of rocks when you were a kid, looking around, digging around through stuff, and finding out stuff, you know. And things, especially things that had to do with change and transformation, probably had a, you know, sometimes people with this particular glyph have either potentially have a high probability of going through either a near-death experience or a substantial out-of-body experience, something unique in like a prayer or a sweat lodge or something like that, where, or, you know, something where they got a little bit more than normal connection with the other side. And yours, throughout your life, it looks like you've probably had an underlying current here of service, helping other people and stuff. Probably even did it when you were little. And especially an aspect of teaching people about, you know, balancing things, how things change and transform, and kind of the reflection of things, mirroring of things. Probably it was something that you gained understanding. A lot of aspect of truth. Truth, probably big word in your vocabulary. Truth and harmony. It's a white glyph, so it goes more with the direction of the north. Now, on the backward flow, this is going to be something maybe showing up more recently in your life, possibly, or, you know, as we get closer into the edge more and more in the next world cycle. And usually we say around the year 1997, 98 for most people, that these type of things may have been showing up a little bit stronger, right before or after that, in more recent years. So yours is all about teaching. teaching about life, teaching about courage, things that have to do with community, a lot of aspect of community and the cooperation within the community. But it has a component here of some, how should I say it, warrior-type energy, or not just warrior-fighter-type thing we think of normally, but in the prophecy of the eagle and condor, this would be the condor, the tribal heart energy warrior type of thing. Wanting things to be right, reason, justice, being fearless, all that kinds of stuff. It's connecting back into that thing that we talked about. You're in the traditional Mayan day count, the four chew in. It's connecting back in that to where if you're working with that and this combined together, it brings in aspects of what we would probably call almost like mystical powers, you know, that are maybe available to you. Especially when you're doing with things with how to dynamically move, equalize, balancing things, shift things, tune them, and stuff like that. You probably have an ability to do that, either by speaking it and helping people by speaking to them and getting them to understand things, you know, get them to realize what they're doing and get them to balance themselves. It sometimes might even be possible. You might even be able to do stuff, you know, even... that's probably where most of it comes in for you, I think. But you might even have some latent abilities in things with healing the energy flow from hands and feet and stuff like that, and literally be able to take what you're saying but also put your hands or direct your hand energy towards people, and that might, you might find that might help too when you have that intention of helping them balance, because you might have the ability to, not only with your mouth, but with your energy or your body and your thoughts and all those things working together to kind of bring in a balance. You're probably already doing that. And it has a connection here also with the sun. So I wouldn't be surprised if recent years you've had a little bit more things with the sun showing up and maybe learning about that. Could be, you know, I'd look for even ancestors, especially the ones that would tie back to the condor energy. Ancestors that deal with condor showing up and telling you stuff about the sun, you know. That I would look for something like that maybe, if it hasn't already happened. Now, where these two time flows come together, that's a yellow glyph, so it's more in the south. So you got the north and the south here, Eagle Condor. And then where the two time flows come together, forward and backward come together, and they create a unity or a balancing or a zero point. Okay, for yours, it's a red glyph. It's the Shakan, the serpent glyph. And it has a number, its day number, it relates to light. Not just any type of light, though. In this case, it's more of the radial spiraling type of light that actually forms our reality and our creation. In Lakota, they call it, they have something that relates to it called skonskon. And Mayan and other different cultures, all of them have different things. It would also tie into the pyramids and the energy coming off the pyramids and the spiral energy coming into the north and south pole, condor and eagle again of the earth. So for you, it's all about sacred power, life force, how things flow, probably maybe getting things involved with how water works, you know, on the earth and the human body and the importance of that in people, you know, not both from drinking it point of view, but the health aspects of it, and also the like Dr. Emoto's work with the memory of water and stuff like that. That is probably something I see that you may, if you're not already doing it, you probably get more and more involved in that type of stuff too. And then it's going, again, it has an aspect here, again, it's showing up again, balancing polarity, balancing things, equalization of things, stuff like that is becoming significant. It also has, it's sitting in a jaguar cycle, so I wouldn't be surprised if you've seen some kind of jaguar-type thing show up in your life, you know, or a mountain lion or something, wolf, jaguar, whatever. You know, Mayan tradition, jaguar is one of the most powerful totem animals. It's also a very significant. They had eagle and jaguar warriors. And the jaguar one is the one that's very significant in terms of moving from one world cycle to the next. So you have both the jaguar and then you have the serpent or snake energy. So they also, that if you looked at, what was it, Pyramid Kukulcan down in Guatemala, I think, has the serpent thing that comes at the equinox and goes
mm-hmm.
down the stairs. Yeah.
Right.
That'd probably be a good thing to look at. So, and that's the serpent, or Chacon, is the Coatl part of Quetzalcoatl. So it's the part that gets on the ground, you know, versus the Quetzal up in the air. So it's the water, or the water serpent. So if you look at things that talk about native stuff in Maya or Hopi or something, they talk about water serpent, that would connect to you too as well.
Okay. Well, you just experienced the Prophecy Keeper's version of shock and awe. Never fear, most people feel like you do after this happens. But it is funny, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, that jaguar, yeah. It's a universal language. Yeah, it's amazing. And I bet, well, anyway, hey, the floor is yours. If it pleases you, grandmother, share some wisdom with us. Just anything, you know, the floor is yours. We'll try not to interrupt, you know, unless you're silent for more than 10 seconds.
Okay. Well, I like to say, I like to honor my ancestors first, because through their wisdom, we are still here. And I like to say thank you, especially in giving us the signs to help us to understand what's happening around us. And as we are told many times, there will be signs for us. But we would have gone through a transition where we have gone to sleep. In the Bible, it talks about the dead shall rise. And so that is what is happening. And we are becoming awake. And when he said, I turn over the stones, I was always asking questions. I wanted to know the truth. I was born into history, and so I asked a lot of questions. And so I was given many teachers, and I was very blessed. And I always listened at a very young age, because they were sharing what I really wanted. I had such a strong desire to know the truth. And my grandfather had said, you're going to be a teacher. And I said, no, I don't want to be a teacher, because I know what they go through. But my name even says that about me, because my name is Ganadisa, and it was given to me by the people in my community and my longhouse. And it talks about the work that I do for the people. I must make sure the village is complete. And so in doing so, I must have the answers, so when they ask the questions, I will be able to answer. And so at a very young age, I was always asking and wanting to understand. And so I heard a lot of the words of them that have now gone on, and so I like to share them with you. They said there would be a time when the people, our children will be given away by the parents for their desire. And that's so true, because I work for addiction. I had been a counselor for many years, and I saw how... even Lee Brown had shared that story with me a long time ago about how time would come when our children will be given by the parents in place of the drugs and the alcohol. And it's happening. It's happening all over, and it's happening so much, so fast. And then it says our children will also forget their ways of being respectful to all things. So my grandma said, you have to, we have to groom them and have to remind them of their responsibilities and their duties. And it's very sad today, because a lot of children, that's when one of my children had said to me, Mom, she says, I have seen so many that have been disrespectful to their grandmothers and their grandfathers. And I said, I told her that's what's going to happen. And I says, but we will teach those that will be reminding to others to help them to remember their roles in life. And it says our children will become, as they say, disrespectful. And we must be very careful. Our values we will lose if they see this house of money coming on our, in our area, in our land. and that the house of money would be casinos. And so they tell us that we will lose a lot of our values, and they tell us to be mindful and really speak of not having that within your community. It has its pros and cons, but the long result of it is the sadness and grief. And then they've talked about all our leaders. The leaders, their heads will roll. And that's so true of what is happening. You see it all over the world. There's so much confusion, and there's so much being dishonest. There's so much of chaos. People are hungry for truth. And so that is the time that we will come to hear and know in our hearts what is truth, and we will take that, and we will, as they say, digest it. We will take it in, and we will have, and truth will come out, and that's why they say this is a time of truth. For when the eagle has landed, there will be much change in the world, and that's what even Mad Bear had talked about when I spoke with him a long time ago. I was very fortunate to meet many of these speakers. Thomas Banyanka, he had come and he had stayed here with me too. And so I have listened to Wallace Black Elk. I have listened to many people from all over. And one of the ones I really treasured was Sarah Smith, Grandmother Sarah Smith. She is the one that told us that we would have to get ready. And so she gathered us women late 80s, and we gathered together to rebuild that fire again for our coming faces. And so she brought in all these teachers, and we shared the understanding of all the people so that we could have a better understanding what was going to come into play. And she said we would have to get ready because the time would come when we would have to help them. We would give them the teachings again, and they will be willing to listen. And so we must open our hearts and speak of peace again, of the Gana Legoa, the great law of peace. And so we must get ready, and we must, and that also goes back to the landing of the eagle, because in that time the alcohol was now being broken, and there again Mad Bear talked about how the men did ceremonies after they were refused to go to the UN, and so that time was very important for all our people because the alcohol was to be broken from us. We would no longer, because we would now see the truth in what that gift was. Because they say that time would come when they would try to remove our minds, take those things from our minds, their truth. And so if they give us these things called sickness and death, they will no longer be obligated to their truth. And so we have to look at that again, because many of our treaties are being dishonored. But we must be careful, because when they weaken our minds, we will not be able to fight them in the way of their truth, their words that we have recorded, we have shared. That is what I mean. When we have heard their words, and we have recorded their words, and their words are recorded in the history books. And so it is a time that history will change, and we will become, they will come again, because they said we will see this fire that has come. It will come from the east, the sun. This fire would come, and it would come of, we know it could be of warmth, or it could be of chaos, of damaging and hurting. And so we knew that the first fire, what it was of destruction. And so they said, but that fire, do not worry, for that fire will burn itself out, because there would be a sign that we would see in the sky that we would tell us that the time has changed. And that is the time when the eagle had landed again, because it's amazing when you hear our stories and hear other people's story, it validates what we had heard. And it makes sense of it all. And so what had happened was, that's when the hippies were coming out, and that's when love became a different kind of love for one another. And so that love is that fire, the fire of compassion and caring. And so that little fire has started to been carried throughout. And they said our chiefs had talked about the time when the fire of the Ganaligoa, the great law of peace, was to be carried out. But because of the things that has come, the men had to stop and protect the lands. And so the Ganaligoa was put, as they say, put to the side so that they could defend their lands and their people. And so they said the fire would be held in a way so it would be kept, so that when the time was right, they will bring out that fire again. And that's what our leaders have done. And one that very stands out in our mind is Jake Thomas. He had come and he had come to that part of sharing that knowledge, not only to our people, but to all. And so it was the opening of that fire again, and that was so important, because that fire opened up the hearts of many people. This fire was to be of compassion and caring, of the pathway of peace. And so we bring this back together of the Ganaligoa, that message. And that's what they say. This message is to be carried across. And Lee Brown, when his last visit here, this is what he had said to us. He said, in the times to come, when there will be chaos, the people will come because they carry that gift that is to help others. And so he left us with that. And now we have gone through all that, and we have seen the surge of the Ganaligoa coming again, and the great law of peace has been now recited every year, where it used to be just every so often. But now it has come back, and it is traveling to all our territories. And the first thing they do that is so beautiful and so loving and full of compassion is they show why we had lost our spirit. It's called decolonize. And so they share with us the understanding what happened to our spirit. And so by the end of the time of the gathering, many people have become more and more aware. More and more people are coming and gathering, and so they're hearing it every year now. And so we've had it in different territories of our communities. And so it is again the fire. And so this fire says that it is to be carried across. And so the men had gone out before us, and they had prepared the ground. And so now it is the grandmothers that are getting our people ready, because they said when we had gathered the people in the late 80s, the cry of the eagle on the Grand River, we had many people from all over the world come here. And as they said at that time, they asked all the spiritual leaders to get their people ready, because in time there will be much chaos, there will be much sadness. We must get our people back to spirituality, because that will be their way to overcome these things that is going to happen. And so I have seen many things that has happened because of what I was told. And he talked about how whatever is happening to nature, we will see it in our children. We will see many of our children being born, just like how the frogs and how all the birds and all these natures are being showing to us how we must be careful, because this can happen to our children. And it's so sad to see the babies that are coming that are affected by the things that is happening. And one of the most important thing that I always remember is from the old grandmas, was that there's going to come a time when the women or when the people will become impatient, and they will want to see what is their gift, and that means their baby. And that is what we know today as ultrasound. My mom, my grandmas, they said, when you become the mother, we do not want you to do that, go through that process, because she says it will weaken their minds. It will weaken, because this is when they are newborn. They are just forming all their gifts. She said, you must not let that happen to your child. You must just think of this gift as a gift from Creator, and you don't open it till Christmas. And so I remember those things that they had talked about. And I have seen so many babies that are born. And some, it's so sad because they get them done a couple of times to really know what their babies are going to be. And even they say that even because of that, they will use this technology, they will use this tool that will shorten our lives. And it's this new science that we have out there. And it's sad because more sickness has been created in last, I would say, in the 60s, more disease has risen as a result of what is happening in the world. And they said our seeds, and this is one of our teachings from Our Lady in our community, is Ione Anderson. She talked really strong about our seeds. She said we must take care of our seeds because they're our future, because each of these seeds were given instruction how to make us well. She said there will become a time when the man will interfere and will try to make the seeds, and there will be nothing in those foods. And this is why we will have a population of unhealthiness in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirits, in our hearts. We will no longer have the foods that was given to us that had the instructions how to make us well, for their spirit will have been taken away. And so we must look after our seeds, because they are like our children. And so we are told many times over that there will be much chaos, and that many people will fall asleep. They will go to bed and they will not rise. They will pass away in their sleep. They also talked about the time when our children would leave and we may not see them again, and our children may disappear and we will not be able to find them. And it has happened so many times. So there are things that we need to think about. They talked about us having this new... it was unbelievable at the time, because when the phones came, it was amazing how they worked. But the old people said, there will come a time when you will be able to see the people you are talking to, and it will be, you will hold it, you will see it, you will see their face, and you will see them, and they will be many miles away. And so I have seen this, because the first time I was at a gathering, I was to do the opening in at a place in Toronto, and I was it was aired way out in Thunder Bay, and so I looked and I could not imagine that I would have lived to see this day. But my grandfather spoke of the time. He says, you are going to see many things that will come to be fulfilled, and one of the things I hope you see is that the truth will become known, and that all the things that we have known for all our lives, for our ancestors, he says, it will be validated. And so when we were doing one of the ceremonies, I was talking about the waters, because I worked as I worked at the treatment center, and I was talking about the waters, the Grandmother Moon, and I said, one day you're going to hear this, that all the things that we have shared, they will tell you that it is validated, and there will be many people that will speak of it, and Dr. Emoto was one of them. And that was brought forward to me by a young man. And so I have been very blessed to see so much of the truth being validated today. And last summer, I was very grateful to be in the presence of hearing the scholars saying to the audience that we need to now validate the wisdom of the indigenous people. That was what my grandfather had told me, and I lived to see that day, and it was the most powerful day for me to ever experience, was to hear those words. So you see, truth is on the rise, and we are here to share the truth. And that truth is way deep inside of each of us. And that truth is the fire that each of us hold, and that's what we are told. Because this truth will come out, and it will bring that new fire. And so many people are hearing, they are rising, as they say, from the dead. We are no longer being like zombies walking around. We are hearing because creation has left us many signs and many symbols. We have been given many dreams. We have been given many words that have slipped into our minds. And it is like a key. It has opened another door of understanding life. We have those aha moments. And those are the words that was given to us by our ancestors to help us to rise up again, because we will have that gift to create the new world. And it was amazing because my father was a veteran, and we would go to all these veteran do. In that time, we'd be shaking hands, and there was a lady there, an elderly lady from Europe, and she held my hand, and she said, "Can I share something?" And I told her, "Yes." She said, "Do you believe in the future?" I said, "Yes." "Do you believe people have the ability to see?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I'd like to share something." And so she read my hands, and she told me that I would see the time when truth would be known. But she also explained that I will be part of the group that will be creating this new world, for there will be many that are waiting and that are listening and wanting change. And so she said, "You will be traveling great distance. You will be asked to come and share the truth of peace, and so that all people will feel the love and the compassion again and understand that the indigenous way was given, the knowledge was given to us by the land. And so that from her, our mother, we have learned how to walk in truth. For all around us we see there has been lies, because our mother is suffering so much because she has heard so many lies of being not being respected. The people are now seeing the truth, and all those that were in leadership that had said they would honor as long as the grass grows and the water flows. And so they are now getting to understand that these treaty belts were not just meant for our people, but they were meant for all mankind. They were to take care of the land, the air, and the water. All our belts speak of taking care of our mother, the earth, and showing respect. And so these are some of the symbols that help us to remember the truth that is to be known. They said there will be time when our people would walk around carrying cans to give them breath. Isn't that oxygen? Our people are suffering, and it is of our lungs, because our people are so heavy in grief. Our people have forgotten how to cry. The people have forgotten how to take care of themselves, because the Creator has given us so many gifts to help us to become well, but we have forgotten. And so those things are coming back to us again. They're coming, and people are becoming. They're listening to their intuition. They're listening to the voices of their spirit saying that it is time. It is time for change. And it is amazing because the youth are wanting to see a different part of creation, and they wanted to know the true love. And so being in this place, going and seeing what I was told when I had asked, "What am I going to do when I am the only one?" Because the voices of all those that had shared their knowledge with me have passed on. And they said, "You will hear us. We will speak to you. But you must just keep your eyes and your ears alert. For we will speak to you in many ways. And we will speak to you of how to do to bring forth the truth that is needed to be heard." And so when I go out to these places, I was told by one of my elders at the time, my mentor, he had told me, "Now you have heard these words of us." He says, "Now it is your duty is to go visiting, because that's how we learned a long time ago." And so all the things that I do, I put it in my mind, I am going visiting. I'm taking this visit, this journey, to share what was to be given. And so this is how the message was carried a long time ago. And so when I go visiting, I hear the people. When I visit, not only the indigenous people, but the many people of the world. And when I hear them speak, they're asking questions, and I sit there and I listen to them. And I said, you know what? When I'm hearing these words come from you, it is a time. You are an affirmation of the most beautiful gift that we have done for you a long time ago. All the grandmothers had gathered a long time ago, and our grandfathers and grandmothers before us, the grandmothers of today, and the great-grandmothers, I said, they prayed for you. And I said, what I'm hearing now is affirmation of those prayers and those ceremonies. And every time someone walked into the treatment center, I held my arms open. I said, welcome home. Welcome home. I said, you are an answer to a prayer, and I am very grateful that you have made it here. And I thanked them because, you see, their eyes are becoming open. They are understanding that now they need to know the truth. And it is so powerful that I have seen many have, I have taught many to cry again, because that is my duty. As a grandmother, I am to show you how to cry again, how to be connected to your heart, because only by crying can you see truth, can you know truth. And that is why the tears were given, the waters was given to us to help us. So much has come to us. And so we are in this place. We have seen much sickness, and it is that the people have told us that there will be much sickness in our bodies because they will be, I'm trying to think how they put it, sickness will be put into us, into our bodies. And the only way I can think of it as in today's language would be needles when they give us, when they inject us with at a very young age. And so it's because Creator has given us all these things. And those medicines are still there. And they are still like us. They're still following their duty. Some of them have been standing steadfast because all these seeds originally came from the sky world, and it was to help us in our time of crisis, to help us to come alert to all these things again. And they tell us that we must eat deer meat because these other animals that we have been exposed to, they will be injected with that will disrupt our balance inside of us. And so it is said that we must always have that traditional food. We are to eat our foods without all these things, because they said the food that we are served today, they have lost their spirit. And so that is why people have to put many things on top of them. It's just like having ketchup, mayonnaise, and dressing, salad dressing, all these things on them to make them taste like the way they used to. And so it is said in our way, we must learn how to get back to basic. We must learn how to go without, because our people have always been in that place without, because it makes us stronger. And that's what my grandmother had always talked about. Learn how to go without, and that's what we call fasting. So that when you grow older, you will be without pain. You will be without sickness. And so I have chosen to be that way. For I'm very lucky that I am here today. And I am. I still play volleyball. I still do these things that I see a lot of my younger generation. They're not able to, because a lot of them are being denied that privilege of having a healthy body. And so I send out so much prayers every day to the restoring of peace, to restore their wellness, their well, because it was also predicted that we must come together and bring forth the truth that is needed so that it can restore us to being well again. And so I say, with much love and gratitude, I'm very grateful for having this time to share some of the knowledge. There is more. I know there is more, but this is all I can remember at the time.
Well, I hope you heard the drum. Wow.
That was a treat. That was a real treat. And you know what? I'm going to reveal something tonight. Renee mentioned a name of a woman, and I have never told anybody. Matter of fact, the only person that knows that Grandmother Sarah, and I'm sure Sarah doesn't remember, but John Red Hat was the Colonel John Duke, known as John Red Hat, was the person that wanted me to start this show up. But he wanted me first to talk with Grandmother Sarah, and I spoke with her on the phone, and she says, I can only teach traditionally. She says, I can't go on the media, but she did give her blessing to the project. I've never told anybody about that. So the intent here was to remind people about what Mad Bear did and get them talking about prophecy and those kind of things. And anyway, you gasped when you heard John Red Hat, or why did you gasp, Renee?
I heard of his name from Sarah.
Oh my gosh! Okay, yeah. Well, I haven't spoken to her since. I'm just now that was 2004, and but I got kicked. The thing that kicked me into this lane, because it was, I knew I had Cherokee ancestry, but in late 1985, and I found out later that it was Mad Bear, and I found out later that he had passed away earlier that year, but he came to me in a dream, and I didn't know who he was until 96. I just remembered that he was a round-faced, pockmarked-faced man, and he had, now listen, this is where it gets wild. He had a chain around his neck with a white stone, oblong stone, and his name was written in the stone, and there was a key embedded in the stone, but I wasn't allowed to remember the name. And all he said to me was, when are you going to do something about Gardner Green's genealogy? Well, and that was it. Well, I had known Rolling Thunder, and RT and he were close, and Zula Brinkerhoff was a adopted daughter of David Monongi, and so they're the ones that kind of, they were getting older, and I expressed an interest, and, you know, it's just been something I've chased since I was 30, and it's been fun. It really has. Matter of fact, I was thinking of changing the bumper music for this program to, I don't know if you ever saw that movie, Dewey Cox, the one at the very end, you know, where he talks about it's a beautiful ride. It's been a beautiful ride. It really has.
Yes.
But, it really has, because all those things that they told us, and we knew back then that things were going to happen, but in 30 years we've seen that it was really in spades, you know. And I was just, and I'll bet you kind of wondered, I bet you kind of lost hope until this last generation was born. This group of kids is serious about saving the planet, which is oddly predicted by a guy that wrote a book years ago, you know, about these cycles, 40-year and 80-year cycles, and the pendulum way things work, and but we're at an end of another 80, you know, 75 to 80 years between major wars, and oh my gosh, you know. we don't have to worry about, who was it that said in the back of the 1700s, may you live in interesting times? We got them. nothing boring. Nothing boring. But hey, Mark, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I was thinking what I was reminded as she was talking, and mentioning the aspect of truth, probably one of the really interesting things that the Hopi elders said was that you can't fight the problem of this world using the same thing. You know, trying to, I said, one of the major problems that we have is people and countries and different entities trying to force their will upon another person or group or whatever, right? You know, get their way by whatever means necessary, even force. And they said, we cannot fight that problem using the same problem. They said, the only thing we have to fight with is the energy of truth itself. So I was, as she was talking, that was what was popping in my head most of the time, was what they were saying about. We have to fight with the truth, the energy and the power of the truth. And that was coming across what she was saying, is how this truth and this power and fire inside the person, and once the person makes that kind of connection with the truth, that he just can't put it back in the bottle. And everybody's connecting to that, and they're all connecting to the same truth, and you're unifying. And that truth is making them understand how to help each other, care about each other. And the more they do that, the more power they get to be able to help each other in gifts and what we would call mystical powers, ability, paranormal, whatever you want to call it. It will become more and more prevalent until we're just doing it. I think that's part of what that whole prophecy of the, you know, the tree of peace and all the peace and stuff is about too, because that's when people find out the truth and the peace are connected, because once they understand the truth and they realize they are connected and they are one another and each of us are inside each other, and then we work with that, then our abilities for the power and the things that we can do are amazing, because then we can trust each other and trust ourselves with that kind of power. Because can you imagine the kind of power if people could weren't, you know, honest and trustworthy and peaceful and stuff, if they had the ability just to do things like bilocate, do all these paranormal things, they're abusing their power anyway. What if they were able to do that stuff? So I think it's going to be interesting, because I think as we move forward, things will get worse and we'll go into purification. But at the same time, we're going to have all these people that are discovering the truth and getting these abilities and stuff. And we'll be going through chaotic times, but we'll also have a group of people that are master healers and can bring us through it. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's really interesting to sit and watch. I spent a lot of time on the internet and looking at a lot of different things. And we probably ought to go ahead and run. Appreciate you. I don't think Grandmother or Renee, you don't have you're not on Facebook as far as I could find out. So. Anyway, well, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, they can get in touch with me, and we'll do it traditionally. but anyway, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you.
Excuse me. My grandchildren give me a way that they said, Grandma, you need to be in touch with, everybody's going to be wanting to talk to you. So they give me an email.
Good.
drhill@live.ca.
Is that B as in boy or R Hill?
Yeah, just R-E-R, E as in Eva, R as in Renee, hill@live.ca.
Right, okay. But is there a B in front of Renee or B R Hill?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, good deal. All right. Well, we appreciate you. And
thank you.
May you be blessed and safe in your travels.
And you too.
Good night, everybody. We'll
good
see
night.
You all next week.
Good night.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Bye-bye.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Yeah. Friends, this is Will Blue Otter, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aqua Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone and the valley. Mountains high.